Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McArabia of the News Tribune, and before Kyle and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, first off, you know, congrats on a 6-3 regular season. I've had a little time to look back on the final win now. Anything new jump out at you off the tape?
What I was hoping to see was us clean up some things that was, you know, kind of giving us a tough time and hindering us from winning games or going undefeated. And it was, you know, and I say particularly what we were doing in, you know, pass and coverage sometimes, it got us in trouble and taking care of the ball. And so I thought those things got cleaned up, and I thought we were smart with the ball. As far as a couple times people attacking it, you know, we got guys in there muddying up the mesh, and the quarterback took care of it and did what he needed to do, so we don't make those mistakes. And then in the coverage, I think we had one coverage let up, but I don't – that wasn't – that was more of a – it was a little bit of a, you know, them attacking a scheme than it was a person not doing their assignment, in which we had a lot of. And I'm okay with – us cleaning that up, and I don't like it to be a touchdown. I like us to get it tackled, but I'm okay with a kid doing his job, doing his assignment, and then us cleaning it up, and that not happening numerous of times during the game. You know,
opening up district play with a rematch against Battle, and you know, a rematch kind of opens up some interesting question opportunities for us here. So I guess, how have you seen? Well, on the tape, like, what is different about Battle that you're facing, the Battle team you're facing this week versus the Battle team you faced week two?
Well, I think they're going to be a little bit better, you know, really attacking the veer, you know, or defending the veer, because they were able to see it 3 weeks in a row. They had seen a form of option with Jeff City, and they seen it with Hannibal, which, you know, played veer at a high level, and then they're going to see us. So I think, you know, a couple of weeks of doing that live, you know, when in the beginning of the season, they, you know, they hadn't seen anybody and you can't simulate that at practice. And so I think they're going to be able to defend it well, and we just have to execute and not give, you know, give them any turnovers. And the ratio of turnovers should be hopefully go in our favor. That'll help us win the game.
Kind of flip side of the same question, what's different about the team you're taking in this week versus the team you brought into the matchup with Battle in week two?
We're conscientious about the things that we need to clean up and the execution we need to have to be successful in this game. I think we understand that we can't keep fumbling the ball, and we have to take care of the ball. And I think that, you know, us having those woes in a couple games and still pulling it out made us feel like we're invincible. I don't know. But it felt like that because we kept fumbling the ball. And then catastrophic in the Helias game, just being in the game and then it falling through our fingertips because of four fumbles in a row. So I think that we're very conscientious about how we hold on to the ball, you know, and we know that can lose us games or help us not, you know, the game not even look like it was competitive. And we don't want that. We don't like the optics of that.
And then not just a rematch from week two, but a rematch from the first round of districts last year. Is there any bit of, you know, revenge element for you guys for how that game played out? Is that even in your mind?
Yeah. Yeah. We're pretty competitive. You know, community, I'll say, you know what I'm saying, on this field, in this stadium, the Blue Brigade, we're pretty damn competitive. But
kind of along with that, you know, you, opened up the stadium against Battle week two. Now you get to play the first true home playoff game here. So what's going to be the key to putting on a show like you did in week two and coming out with that W again?
I think one of the things that we came out flat last year. We remember that we wasn't the most enthusiastic about that game. For whatever reason, the stadium felt empty. We felt like we were moving just not with the same enthusiasm as we did when we first got in here in that first game we played against Battle. And I think we're gonna not fall for that mistake again. I think we're gonna be enthusiastic about playing. I think we're gonna want to play this game and understand that it's gonna be four quarters. And then, each rep we're gonna play it and execute each rep because we know that's what it takes to win this game.
All right, that was Kevlar's head coach Joe Collier. Kyle, I guess before we look ahead to the postseason that starts today, we'll ask you quickly about last week. 35-20 win at Kirksville, probably a little bit closer than maybe you or I thought maybe going in, but what would, after you got to see the Tigers in person, what were kind of your takeaways from that contest?
I think Kirksville is better than what we expected, what we talked about last week. Overall, they played pretty well. Capital City's still, in charge throughout the game. It looked early on like the Cavaliers might kind of do what they had done the last couple of weeks. But, Kirksville was able to put together a couple of pretty solid offensive drives and make a couple of big defensive stops at a couple of key points. So, it ended up being a little closer than we were expecting, for sure. I mean, my prediction was pretty big last week.
Sure.
A two-score game, but still a pretty well in control game for the Cavaliers.
Well, it was kind of one of those games where I was following along on Twitter as you were putting out your tweets, and it just seemed like it was never one of those things where you kind of got that separation maybe early. It was kind of like just kind of, gradual, and they just kind of hang around, and the thing you hope about in those games is the team that's hanging around doesn't then, jump up and bite you at the end, but at least for the Cavaliers, that didn't happen. They let them kind of hang around, but they kept it far enough apart.
Yeah, and I think one of the keys, with Capital City's offense, we've seen throughout the season that it's able to strike very quickly.
Sure.
Make a guy or two miss, and Jalen Thomas is gone or Phillip Richardson's gone,
Right.
The big plays have been there throughout the year. They have struggled, or I wouldn't say struggled. They haven't had to try to really drain clock recently.
Okay.
Two turbo clock wins the last 2 weeks.
Sure.
And then three games where you're playing from behind late the weeks before that. So it's been a while since they've really had to try to orchestrate a long drive and hold on to the ball for an extended period of time. And they did exactly that late in the second half. Did a great job. I think they had a drive that lasted like 8.5 or 9 minutes. Didn't end up with points, but that was, exactly what they needed at that point, was to just, tick away Kirksville's opportunities to put together that late comeback attempt.
You mentioned his name again, so let's talk about Jalen Thomas a little bit, like we have been. It seems like it's kind of get another one of those kind of tote board games where you put up a big total and then just see what it rolls over into and how it, accumulates into X number of yards for the X number of games now. So
he went well over 200 again for the third consecutive game, which I thought in the moment had put him over 800 for the last three games. It put him at 799.
Oh, so close.
With 10 touchdowns
in
three games. So, Battle is a different situation than what the last couple of weeks have been.
Sure.
But 201 to get to 1,000 over four games is not unrealistic, considering how he's been playing and the way Capital City has shown it can hit big plays against Battle the last couple of matchups. So I think it's very possible you're going to see Jalen hit 1,000 yards over four games at a stretch this season. He's probably a little bit too far to get to 2,000 in this game, but if Capital City were to win and play another game, I think very realistically he'll go over 2,000 this year.
So you did let the cat out of the bag a little bit early, but so
I ruined the surprise.
I think we all knew what the surprise was, but so the end result is, with that regular season capping win, the Cavaliers are now 6-3, gets them the 3 seed in districts, and as we kind of talked about or alluded to last week, there could have been a number of different things that shook out once the shaking was done, but the shakeout was that they got Battle again, and so again they're going to renew acquaintances, for the second time this year and in the second time in in two postseasons, or, you know, where you go, I wish we weren't on this broken record, but we are. So yeah, it's a 6-3, you know, Capital City hosting 3-6 battle tonight.
Yeah, I think when we looked at it last week, they were lined up to either face Washington or Rolla, and I think Washington ended up winning its final game, and Battle lost to, not Hickman, I can't remember who, but end result being...
Hannibal.
Hannibal, yeah. Yeah, I knew it was an H. All right. End result being, yeah, another rematch with Battle, just like the first round of districts last year, when right. Battle was the team that put an end to Capital City's kind of upstart first winning season in sure. showroom history, you know, entering the playoffs 7-2 last year instead of 6-3 this year. And then I think Battle won by 10 in a pretty dominant Ricky Dunn rushing game, from what I remember. I think he went over 200 yards in that matchup and kind of controlled it throughout. So
yeah, that was a 34-14 win.
20, there we go. Yeah. yeah, and then Capital City's offense just didn't quite put it together in that matchup. So yeah. I know revenge is on the mind, I
sure.
think.
So to remind everybody, it was a 37-34 win for Battle back in
for
week
Capital
two.
City.
Or well, yeah, but I mean, so yeah, for Capital City. So I guess if we flash back to that, I mean, that's, you know, 8 weeks ago now. Yeah. So what do you remember about that game? What was kind of the thing that stood out to you in that game? What do we maybe think might then color our idea of how tonight's game plays out?
What I remember is I can still confidently say that's the most ridiculous football game I've ever covered.
Right.
Let's see. Capital City lost 6 fumbles, fumbled 10 total times. Battle returned 2 of those for touchdowns. I would say when I read back through my story, I counted it up and I would say Capital City gifted Battle about 28 points
okay.
in that matchup, starting with a safety on the opening set of downs on a, you know, punt or on a snap over the punter's head on fourth down after a 40-yard run on the first play was taken back due to a penalty. Yeah, that game was insane from start to finish. Capital City ends up with an 11-point comeback in the fourth quarter that Evan Schaefer came in late to orchestrate. He had been, I think the plan was to get him in a little earlier, but he was kind of banged up, so they didn't put him in until absolutely necessary. He orchestrates 2 scoring drives on the last 2 drives of the game to put Capital City in front. The way I would say that colors how I'm looking at this game, Evan Schaefer is probably going to play the whole game
right.
at quarterback. The offense has been, for the most part, much more efficient with him under center than those first 2 games. With, you know, as we saw against, say, Helias, it has sequences where those same issues can still come up, those same fumble problems. But especially these last 3 weeks, these 3 wins, it's been much more under control. Even in the 3 losses, it was generally more under control than those first 3 games. And, you know, the way Capital City played in that game, I would say if they were to play at that same level and just say only lose 3 fumbles
right.
instead of 6,
right.
then it's a 18-point game
sure.
instead of a 3-point game.
You know, you always hear coaches at this time of the year say, well, we're not the same team we were then, or we hope we're a different team than what we were then, especially when you're talking about, you know, a week 2 matchup now versus a week 10 matchup.
Right.
You hope that there's been a lot of changes, a lot of maturation. You hope you're better. Everybody hopes that. So I guess to me, the big thing is yes, if you know, you like say, if you can clean up those mistakes for Cap City, then all of a sudden that game takes on a different complexion. But I also wonder too is this maybe a little bit different Battle team as well after having these games? Because, you know, that game happened in week 2 in the midst of a 3-game skid to start the year. And while it hasn't been awesome since then, you know, the Spartans have at least gone 3-3 since then. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you've lost 3 games that you probably expected to lose. You've won 2 that you expected to win. And then I think the one that kind of jumps up to me is just the Jeff City win,
that's,
you know,
that's
2 weeks ago.
That's the surprise in that stretch for
right.
sure.
So I guess my question for you is just, do we think Battle's maybe getting, you know, taking strides to being a better team than maybe that team that you know, Cap City saw in week 2?
Yes and no, probably.
Okay.
I know they're doing, the offense has a little bit different couple of, you know, plays that they like to run now that they didn't at that point. I think, I'm pretty sure the kid's name is Chris Brown. is a linebacker who they like to wildcat snap to. According to Trevor, he's just a big, big kid.
Right.
They did that in just about every short yardage situation against Jeff City. That was not a factor. He got no touches in the Week 2 game. And I think he had like 214 yards against Hickman.
Okay.
So that was obviously a big factor in one of the three wins there. So might see some of that. That could be an issue. But Capital City has done a pretty great job stopping the run throughout most of the year.
Right.
So, you know, the defensive line, I would expect, is still going to be able to do a good enough job of keeping that under control, where I wouldn't expect that to play a huge role. Without Ricky Dunn to take over the game the way he did last year,
right.
I think it might be a little bit different situation. But, you know, Battle still got DeQuell Wright, who had over 100 yards against Capital City in Week 2, had a pretty big game against Jefferson City, and another huge game against Hickman, I think. He's a very talented kid, and, you know, Capital City's defensive issues kind of throughout the year have come in the secondary. So,
right.
You know, a couple of shots to him can really affect the game.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, one of the things you always look to then at this time of year is when you got these matchups is you hope that certain things don't enter into it and affect the play of the game. One of them is weather. I think the weather's supposed to be fine. We're supposed to get some showers very early today, and then I think they're going to be gone by game time. The only thing I think it will be is it's probably going to be chillier than it has the last couple of weeks, but that's I kind of want that at this time of year.
I'm fine with it.
And I think the players probably are too. So if you throw that out the window and say, yeah, that's probably not going to be a factor tonight, then the other factor that you always kind of worry about at this time of year is, okay, what's the injury situation? And you hope that everybody's coming in with their full complement of players, so you finally get to see an accurate reflection of how things are. And I guess for the Cavaliers, then, how are they prepared to come into this game tonight?
It looks like everybody's kind of back to healthy.
You know,
it's been a stretch here of, you know, the last handful of games where guys have either been out or limited, whether it's Philip Richardson and Nehemiah Hamilton in the backfield, a combo of missed games. And, you know, I think Richardson has like 6 touches each of the last 2 or 3 games. So not, you know, getting a full workload in the way he was early in the season. Same with Hamilton. I think Marquez Golladay's pretty much back to healthy and probably able to play both ways, which he hasn't done the last couple of weeks. He's been kind of mostly offensive line and then maybe a few snaps of defense. I think he's probably ready to go both ways, it seems like. So, you know, those guys who have been limited the last couple of weeks in games where Capital City kind of knew that they had it handled without their, you know, every single key guy playing every down.
Right.
They've taken that opportunity to get extra rest and recovery time for a lot of these guys, and it seems like it's paid off.
So I guess this kind of gets us to the prediction point of the podcast with a wrinkle. So we'll mention tonight that the winner of this game will be playing the winner next week of the 2-seed Camdenton at 7-2 or 7-seed Rolla that comes in at 3-6. So I guess I'll ask you first, do you see an upset in that one, or do you see the expected Camdenton winner? And then I guess then who gets the win tonight in Cap City's game?
Okay, so with Camdenton Rolla first, I'll say I expect Camdenton to win. From what I've seen from them, their offense is pretty legit.
Sure.
So I'll even give you a score.
Okay.
I'm coming up with it off the top of my head. I'll say Camdenton wins 42-21.
Okay.
And
they advance to face, or will they then will host?
I think Camdenton then will host Capital City.
Okay.
I think the Cavaliers have largely fixed the issues, not fully, but to a manageable degree that made the game close Week 2.
Okay.
And like I said, if instead of 6 lost fumbles with 2 returned for touchdowns, you only fumble 3 or 4
right.
times, which is still a lot, then it's a vastly, vastly different game.
Sure.
So I'll say Capital City, I am still expecting some explosive plays back and forth. So I'll say it's a kind of a shootout, and Capital City wins 42-28.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey, McAravey. why. Thanks for listening.